This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, May 11th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. Three games in the NBA playoffs last night. All potential elimination games will start in Philadelphia, where the 76ers, leading the Bulls 3-2, playing at home in Game 6. Of course, the Bulls aren't the Bulls. No Rose, no Noah. Boozer winds up shooting 1-for-11 from the field. A fascinating game down to the final possession. The 76ers beat the Bulls 79-78, but it was a fascinating last 20 seconds, if you will. The Bulls are up by one, and they have the ball. C.J. Watson, their point guard, is dribbling the ball down the court. The 76ers are actually trying to foul him, but he drives to the basket on a 2-on-1 with Omar Asik, their backup center, who's actually a pretty good player, but a terrible foul shooter. And inexplicably to me, Watson passes the ball to Asik, who's going in for a layup and gets hammered. Had Watson held the ball, Philly was actually trying to catch him from behind to foul him. Now, Watson's an 80% foul shooter. Asik's a 48% foul shooter, so you know what's going to happen here. The Bulls are up one when Asik goes to the line. He misses the first. He misses the second. Iguodala goes the length of the court for Philly, goes right to the basket, gets fouled with 2.2 seconds left. Now he's at the line for two, makes the first to tie up the game, makes the second to give Philly the lead by one, 2.2 seconds left. Bulls come the other way, get a three-quarter court heave from C.J. Watson that actually isn't far off the mark, but no good. Philly 79, Chicago 78. Philly wins the series 4-2. Collins, the coach, goes absolutely berserk. It's his first, and he's a good coach. It's his first playoff series win since 1989. And look, I don't know if he said it after the game. Certainly not the way you want to beat the Bulls, but of course Philly will take it. The talk in New York had always been, boy, if only the Knicks could come in eighth instead of seventh because they'd have a shot against the Bulls. This is before Rose got hurt and before Joakim Noah got hurt. But Philly gets the win in six. Philly 79, Bulls 78. Doug Collins has done a great job in Philadelphia, don't get me wrong. But they really, to me, don't have that superstar. Iguodala is a very good player. 20 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds yesterday. Jrue Holiday, an up-and-coming point guard, 14 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Spencer Hawes, who has become a real find for Philly in the playoffs, 8 points, 10 rebounds. Philly has a good team. I don't think they could have won. Lou Williams, 14 off the bench. I don't think they could have won, obviously, if Rose didn't get hurt, but no Rose, no Noah. Carlos Boozer shoots 1-for-11 from the field for 3 points. He does get 13 rebounds. Dang and Hamilton have 19 each for Chicago, but it was too much to ask, and they could have won that game. Again, I think if Watson had held the ball, there's a good chance they could have won that game, but he did what you would normally do in the middle of the game. Sometimes you got to change the way you play basketball late in the game. C.J. Watson did not recognize that. Asik goes to the line, misses two. Philly comes back, makes two. Philly 79, Bulls 78. Philly moves on. They win the series 4-2. I personally thought the Bulls could win that series even without Rose, but then they did lose Noah as well, and that's two of their three main players, along with Boozer, who was 1-for-11 yesterday. So it was too much to overcome, even though the Bulls almost did win that game. Philadelphia moves on. The other elimination game, the Hawks in Boston. Boston up 3-2 after the Hawks had won Game 5. The Celtics come up on top. Boston 83, Atlanta 80. Boston wins the series 4-2. Now, it was great that Al Horford came back for Atlanta. yesterday, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, but unfortunately down 1 very, very late in the game, final seconds. Horford gets fouled, goes to the line for 2 to tie, misses the first, makes the second. The Celtics get fouled, they go back the other way, Pierce makes both foul shots, and then Teague gets the ball for Atlanta, you know, with virtually with like 1.2 seconds left. He can't even get a shot off from three-quarter court. Celtics 83, Hawks 80. Pierce was hobbling, still played, 18 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Kevin Garnett turned the clock back, 28 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 5 blocks. I mean, just a stunning game for Kevin Garnett. And a game where he had to pick it up because he knew Paul Pierce was sick. Rondo, 14 points, 8 assists. Allen off the bench, only 1 for 7. He took 7 threes, 7 points, 5 rebounds. But Boston gets the job done. Now, again, if Horford had been healthy the whole series, it might have been a different deal. Josh Smith, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists yesterday. Joe Johnson, to me, kind of quiet in this series, 17 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound. But Boston gets the win, Boston 83, the Hawks 80. Boston wins the series 4-2, and now Boston moves on to play Philadelphia in the second round of the playoffs. And a lot of people think Philadelphia can give Boston a real battle and even win that series. I think the Celtics just have too much. If Pierce is healthy now with a few days off, with Garnett, Pierce, Rondo, Bass and Bradley have played well for Boston. Ray Allen coming off the bench now. I think Boston gets that series. But Boston moves on to play the Philadelphia 76ers. Boston 83, the Hawks 80. One other elimination game that turned out not to be an elimination for Denver. The Lakers go into Denver after Denver, I thought, upset the Lakers in Los Angeles in Game 5. So you knew they could get Game 6 at home, and they did. Denver 113, Lakers 96. That ties up the series 3 games apiece. Again, once Denver won Game 5, and I thought they would have their problems, but they did win Game 5 in L.A., you know, Bynum said those stupid things, closeout games aren't that tough to do. As long as you play well early, you can kind of, essentially he said, you can make them quit if you play hard early. Well, not only did Denver win Game 5, but now Denver has won Game 6. And yes, they go home to Los Angeles for Game 7. The Lakers have the home court advantage, and you certainly still like them to win. But Denver just proved that they could beat them in Game 5 in L.A. So yesterday, Kobe wasn't feeling well, played despite having flu-like symptoms, did score 31 points in 37 minutes. But Pau Gasol had one of the worst games of his career. 1 for 10 from the field, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist in 29 minutes. And to me, that was the difference. I mean, Bynum offensively wasn't that much better, 4 for 11 from the field, 11 points, but he did have 16 rebounds. Kobe with 31 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and he was sick. But it wasn't enough. Nuggets 113, Lakers 96. It was the Ty Lawson show. I think he's coming of age in this series. He's been a good NBA point guard. But yesterday, 13 for 18 from the floor, 5 for 6 from 3, 32 points for Ty Lawson, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Fareed, the great college rebounder, 15 points, 11 rebounds. Gallinari, 12.7 assists, 4 rebounds, and again, he was on the Knicks for a couple of years. He is a nightmare matchup and a very versatile player, and his box score shows it, 12.7 assists, 4 rebounds. Even Corey Brewer off the bench with 18 points, 8 for 12 from the field, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Andre Miller, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists as the backup point guard. Denver, again, has 5 or 6 very good basketball players. Do I think they can beat the Lakers in Los Angeles in Game 7? No, I don't. But, hey, I'm surprised they got it to Game 7. So give George Karl and the Denver Nuggets a lot of credit. Denver 113, Lakers 96. Denver ties up that series at 3. Game 7 will be tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern on TNT. So the way the playoffs set up now, as you know, San Antonio swept Utah, Oklahoma City swept Dallas, Denver and Lakers tied at 3 apiece. Tonight, Game 6 in the Clippers-Memphis series. Clippers lead 3-2. That game is in Los Angeles tonight. If Memphis wins, they go back home for Game 7. That's the Western Conference. In the East now, as you know, all the series decided. Philly beats Chicago. They'll play Boston, who beat Atlanta. Miami, who beat the Knicks in 5. We'll play Indiana, who beat Orlando in 5. Those are your playoffs, the big games, the two remaining series left. Game 6 tonight, Memphis at the Clippers. Game 7 tomorrow, Denver at the Lakers. Couple of miscellaneous notes. In the NBA, James Harden named the Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, Harden's been unbelievable for Oklahoma City. He gets 31 minutes a game. Which is pretty amazing. Durant, of course, in the backcourt. I mean, they're loaded at the guard. Russell Westbrook, they're loaded at the guard position. Durant sometimes plays the three, but Harden, averaging 17 points a game in 31 minutes coming off the bench, deservedly so, the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. A couple of NFL notes. There's a memorial service today at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego for Junior Seau. Again, if you watched ESPN this week, they ran a 5-part concussion series, and it's you know, to me, it's officially an epidemic. I don't know what you need to make an epidemic official, but this is something, especially if you have kids, you've got to worry about. They just haven't done enough to protect these players, and you've got 20, 30 years in the pipeline now. So there's going to be more, I hate to say it, but there's going to be more guys who are going to shoot themselves in the chest and leave their brains to science. Because this, obviously, when you see these guys who now have dementia, they don't know where they are, they'll lose their short-term memory. Jim McMahon looks like a guy who might be on his way to that kind of stuff. He says his short-term memory is shot now. It's really a scary thing. And I'll say it again, if you have kids, I think it's a real decision as to whether they should play football or not. Now, Junior Seau's death was ruled a suicide. He did shoot himself in the chest, which might be the new way to kill yourself. I hate to say it that way if you're a football player, because Dave Duerson of the Bears did the same thing and at least left a note, make sure somebody looks at my brain. And you don't know, Junior Seau apparently didn't leave a note, but you have to think if he shot himself in the chest, it's for the same reason. Now, again, it's not like a Duerson situation where you know that's why he did it. But Junior Seau's brain is going to be looked at. You have to think they're going to find some remnants of CTE in his brain. They're trying to get a test now so you can be tested while you're alive. Right now, there is no test for that. But there will be a memorial service today at Qualcomm Stadium. It is a very sad story for Junior Seau. And, of course, I'm sure that'll be well attended. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com. Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the baseball in a minute. Just quickly on the NHL, three of the four, final four, are set. Washington, as you probably know, beat the Rangers Wednesday night. Washington 2, New York 1 to force a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. That was an interesting game. Alex Ovechkin, who has bought into this defensive scheme, you got to give Dale Hunter credit. He's totally changed the culture in Washington. And this Braden Holtby has played out of his mind. Ovechkin scored his fifth of the year to give him the lead. Jason Chimera put him up 2-0. The Rangers pulled the goalie. Pulled Lundqvist, actually did score with 51 seconds left. Gabrick gets his fourth of the playoffs, but they couldn't get the second one across. So Washington wins 2-1 to force a Game 7 at the Garden. That game will be tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern, on the NBC Sports Channel. Winner moves on to the conference finals. Loser goes home. Now, it's interesting because at least in New York, everybody's going with, well, they've got Lundqvist, they've got the experience, they've, Holtby's been good, but he's a rookie, only 21 games, blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem with that analysis. The problem is it was the same analysis 10 days ago up in Boston, where the Capitals went up to Boston, tied 3 games each, Game 7 on the road against Tim Thomas and the defending Stanley Cup champions Boston, and Holtby beat Thomas 2-1 in Boston in Game 7. So I hope the Rangers win. I like the Rangers to win. They have been able to rise to the occasion when they've had to, against Ottawa and now against Washington. But this Holtby is not a fluke. You know the drill, send bodies to the net, shoot as many times as you can, hope to get a lucky bounce. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's how you move on in the playoffs. But the Rangers, the remaining number one seed, Vancouver, already got beat by 5 by a number 8 seed. The Rangers playing at home, yes, you have to say, oh, they have Lundqvist, they have the home ice advantage, but that's exactly what they were saying in Boston about Tim Thomas, reigning Conn Smythe Trophy winner, and the defending Stanley Cup champions playing at home in Game 7, and Holtby beat them. So you can't be shocked again. Dale Hunter, if you can give a Coach of the Year in the playoffs, to me, Dale Hunter gets the award, because if you watch Washington, forever an offensive team led by Ovechkin, they're a totally different team now. In fact, Ovechkin was getting little ice time, or a lot less ice time earlier in the playoffs, because of his approach. Now he's bought into the defensive system. And look, he could always hit, he could always fight. But now this will be an interesting game. Is it whoever scores first wins? Well, probably, frankly. Probably, because it's been such a low-scoring series, one-goal games for the most part. So in the West, obviously, the Kings swept the Blues. The Coyotes beat the Predators in 5, so it's the Kings and the Coyotes. One of them will be in the Stanley Cup Finals, which is interesting. In the East, the Devils beat the Flyers, manhandled the Flyers 4-1. Again, after the Flyers had beaten Pittsburgh, I don't think anybody really picked the Devils. But they got 40-year-old Marty Brodeur. Peter DeBoer, the coach, has done a good job. The Devils are the Devils of the Devils. Lou Lamoriello constructs that team as a tough, hard-nosed team. They will play the winner of Game 7 of the Rangers and the Capitals. So that's your hockey. Let's just 1 minute on the Roger Clemens trial. Brian Cashman actually testified yesterday down in Washington, D.C. Cashman, of course, the GM of the Yankees, and he actually scored some points, I think, for both sides. He did testify that Clemens wanted McNamee there, that Clemens was willing to pay McNamee's salary. But he also said things like, McNamee would never give a B-12 shot. Trainers are not allowed to give B-12 shots. Clemens seemed to make it like, you know, this kind of stuff happened all the time. But Cashman also did score some points for Clemens. You know, they asked Cashman, a juror actually put in a question, what makes Clemens so great? And Cashman said pitching ability and something else that's inside of him, determination. So Cashman, you know, hurt and helped both. I'm not sure if that makes him out to be a wash. He really didn't have any firsthand knowledge of McNamee, obviously, giving Clemens any shots. In fact, again, he said it was the opposite, that a trainer would not give shots of any kind in the Yankee clubhouse. It was usually the medical doctors who would do that, or team trainers, which, again, now it gets a little blurry. McNamee wasn't a team trainer. He was a Clemens trainer, but he was hired by the team, but Clemens paid his salary, so you see how that line can get a little blurry. They did score some points for the prosecution this week. The defense is still trying to get that Andy Pettitte testimony stricken from the record. But that motion had not been decided as of yesterday. Want to move now to Major League Baseball. Some record-breaking stuff in this Rangers-Orioles game yesterday. Flaherty, J.J. Hardy, and Nick Markakis led off for the Baltimore Orioles yesterday with back-to-back-to-back home runs off of Kobe Lewis. It's never happened in the history of the American League. It happened apparently 3 times in the National League. But I didn't hear if this is a record, but this strikes me as it has to be a record. The Orioles got 5 hits yesterday. All 5 were home runs. And they needed all 5 because the Rangers scored 1 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th. The Orioles win the game 6-5. The Orioles hit 3 back-to-back-to-back home runs in the 1st. They score 3 in the 7th on 2-run homers, a solo shot by Jones, and then a 2-run homer by Wilson Benamet in the 7th. Benamet's 5th of the year. Jones is 9th of the year. Interestingly, because in the first inning after those guys hit, after Flaherty, Hardy, and Markakis hit their back-to-back-to-back home runs, Jones hit one to the warning track in center field. They almost went 4 home runs in a row. Baltimore gets the win. Baltimore is a surprising to me, 20-11. Texas is 20-11 as well. Those are the best records in baseball right now. For the Orioles, again, nobody got 2 hits. They only got 5 hits, but all 5 were homers. I wonder if that's some kind of record. For Texas, Torrey Alba, the catcher, went 3-for-4. He was the only one with more than 1 hit. Josh Hamilton, 1-for-4. He's hitting an even .400. Orioles, 6. Rangers, 5. Again, in what can only be called a record-setting game. Rays up at the stadium to play the Yankees. David Price 5-1 against CeCe Sabathia 5-0. You expected it to be a low-scoring game, but Price actually gave up 5 earned runs in 7 innings. The Yankees got home runs from Robinson Cano, his 3rd of the year, and Curtis Granderson, what can you say, his 11th of the year. Granderson is a 40-homer-a-year guy in Yankee Stadium. That's just the way it is. Granderson with 11 home runs and 20 RBIs already. Cano and Granderson hit home runs. CeCe Sabathia was very good. 8 innings pitched, 7 hits, 2 runs, both unearned. They keep putting this Nunez out in the field for the Yankees. They can't really find a spot for him. Last year, his problems were throwing problems. This year, he can't catch the ball. Two errors yesterday, one in the first inning, one in the second inning. They both led to the two unearned runs that Sabathia did give up. Sabathia moves to 5-0. Price drops to 5-2. Yankees 5, Rays 3. Tampa Bay 20-12, now a half game behind the first place Baltimore Orioles. Jeter 0-4, drops to .376. Cano 3-4, gets his average up to .286. A-Rod 2-4, he's hitting .287. And Nunez, great offensively, that's why the Yankees like him, 2-2, he's now batting, and a walk, he's now batting .294. They actually took him out for defensive purposes and put Nix at third base later in the game. Yankees 5, Rays 3. Yankees move up to 17-14, but again, Baltimore in first at 20-11, Tampa Bay in second at 20-12. This AL East is going to be wacky. I don't think Baltimore can stay there, but give Buck Showalter credit because he's got them playing well. A few other games in the American League. The Red Sox not playing well. The Indians get 3 in the second, 4 in the third off of Josh Beckett. Indians 8, Red Sox 3. Lowe gets the win. He's 5-1. Beckett takes the loss. He's 2-4. Kipnis and Hanahan both hit home runs off of Beckett. Kipnis is 6th. Hanahan's 3rd. Dustin Pedroia hits his 5th of the year for the Red Sox. Indians 8, Red Sox 3. The Blue Jays beat the Twins 6-2. Give the Blue Jays credit. They're 18-14 as well. The Red Sox mired in last place in the AL East. They're 11-19. Only one game in the National League yesterday, but an interesting one. Steven Strasburg. What can you say about this guy? He beats the Pirates 4-2. He strikes out 7 guys in a row, 13 strikeouts overall. Nationals win 4-2. Nationals 19-12. Pirates drop to 14-17. Strasburg gets the win. He's 3-0. Correa takes the loss. He's 1-3. Rodriguez gets his 7th save. For Washington, all the runs on home runs. Ankiel hits his 2nd. Bernardini hits his 1st. Adam LaRoche had the big hit, though, a 2-run home run. His 6th homer of the year. In the 6th inning, that gave the Nationals the lead 3-2. They win 4-2. The Nationals, I don't think they're a shock because, you know, they have these very good young players. But the Nationals now 19-12. They are in first place in the NL East. Tonight on TV, no hockey, one NBA playoff game. Grizzlies at Clippers, game 6. A lot of people think, I thought the Clippers would win this series in 6. I think they have to get Game 6 because they'll have trouble beating Memphis in Game 7. Now, look, little groin problem maybe or a hip problem for Chris Paul. We'll have to see if he's got to be 100%. Grizzlies at Clippers, 9 o'clock Eastern, obviously 6 o'clock on the West Coast. That's on ESPN. That's a huge game. Baseball today on the MLB Network, Angels at Rangers, 8 o'clock Eastern, Mariners at Yankees, 7 o'clock Eastern, that's on the YES Network. This is the Steve Callis Show, we're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.